Come on. Jesus, when Jesus ascended to heaven, while he was here on earth, bound by the natural limitations of his flesh, when he re-entered, he took the Holy Spirit, gave it to them. He gave the authority to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit would be the helper. Come on, somebody say helper. Of those whom they were left behind to carry on his work. Come on, remember this gifting, this endowment of the Holy Spirit was not because we can be eloquent of words. Not because we can be super spiritual. The empowerment was to carry on the work. There's a purpose in that. Come on, don't just get filled with the Spirit just because I can say I can speak in tongues. That's not it. It's the empowerment to fulfill God's plan. He said, when you're filled with the Spirit, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, when you're filled with the Spirit, I give you the power to become my witnesses. There's a significance in it. God doesn't do anything just to say he did it. He did it with a purpose in mind. And we are that purpose. God has called on us to live out that purpose of empowerment, of the purpose of courage in our lives through the Holy Spirit. And we do that by definition of everything in our lives, how we live our lives, and how we present our lives as a witness for God. Amen? Come on, so that we're not intimidated and that we don't back down when things get risky or things get risque in our life that are worldly. We don't back down to that. We step up and say, if God be for me, who can be against me? Come on, God has called us to be a standout, to be lights on this world. To make a difference, to be salt on this earth. Amen? Come on, we do not want to be salt that has lost its... All right. We don't want to lose it. We want to be significant in all that we do and how we do it. Not for our self-gain or not to say we have a name, but to say God be glorified through my life. Amen? Come on, the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do that. See, the Spirit of God would promote the good news about Jesus and give every follower the courage, somebody say courage, to do the things that they would have otherwise dared to do. Peter wasn't standing up in no congregation talking about repent. Peter wasn't standing up talking about live for God and it's Jesus Christ whom you crucified. He wasn't doing that. He only got this power and this boldness and this courage because the Spirit of God came upon him. And I can tell you, church, until the Spirit of God comes upon your life in a full and a dynamic way, some situations you'll back down from that God says you need to start stepping up for. Come on, it's not that we should be placed as doormats and people that can walk over you because of the significance of our lives. No, it is because of what God has done in our lives and the empowerment that he's given us for our lives. That we should become significant to this world. Amen? Come on. Pentecost was never intended to be a one-time affair. I know we read about it in Acts. And I know we talk about it in Acts 10 and Acts 19 and all through the book of Acts through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Because there's some things that are evident about the Spirit of God. See, number one, the evidence is that it was given in Acts chapter 9 when Simon received it through the laying on of hands. Not that the hands were significant, but God used the disciples or the apostles to transfer this power of this anointing. So much so that the Simon, the sorcerer, who was tricking people, he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Baptized. And still denied God. And still wanted to buy the Holy Spirit like it was for sale. Come on, God still has to do a work in our life, even though we get filled with the Spirit. Baptize all that stuff. The work's still not done. Come on. He helps us through the scriptures. He helps us through the book of Acts so that we can remember that Pentecost was not just a one-time thing. Come on, in Acts chapter 4, they went through some turmoil. They went through some situations, some hardships, say, about preaching Jesus. And they was locked up and beaten. And still, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came and refilled them again. Amen? Come on, sometimes we just need to be filled again and refilled again. Amen? Come on, I preached a message called Free Refills. Like y'all like at the restaurant, amen? First thing you ask when you sit down, is there free refills? Yeah, we'll take it. We'll take it. Come on. God gives free refills. Because of what? He know we need it. He know we need it. See, there's a thing in the world called wear and tear. It ain't just for your tires. I know we say it's just for the wear and tear of our stuff. But it's for us too. Come on, we deal with stuff. People lie to you. People talk about you. Come on, people frustrate you. People manipulate you. Harm you. That's called wear and tear. Come on, people not kind to you. All this stuff happens. And guess what it does to our heart? Wear and tear. Come on, that's why we show up at church a lot of times. Because we don't put a lot of miles during the week. And I don't know how I'm going to retread this. I don't know if I can retread it. But I need something to happen in my heart to rejuvenate me, to revive me. Come on, to give me a resiliency. Because sometimes the wear and tear kick people out the game. They can't handle it. They can't deal with it. It becomes more than enough. And first thing, I'm just missing a Sunday. And then next thing, I'm missing two Sundays. And next thing you know, you ain't seeing me. You better call me. Because the reality is, not because I don't want to see you. It's not because I don't like you. It's because I'm dealing with so much of this wear and tear on my life. And sometimes it becomes significant. And sometimes we just don't even talk about it. But it's lived out in our lives because of the wear and tear we deal with. Come on, things that we go through and things that people deal with. Come on, it's sometimes you call it insignificance, but for them, they're going through a lot. It's life-changing. And we need this power and this presence of God's Spirit in our life to revive us. Come on, why? Because people killing me off. Come on, Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 4. He said, it's killing me, but it's bringing life to you. I'm going through all this. And it's killing me, but it's bringing life to you. What was he saying? I'm going through this because God called me. I'm dealing with this because it's for you. I got to write this epistle. I got to live out this lifestyle. I know it's killing me, but guess what? It's bringing life to you. This is so many times we got to identify with our call. Yeah, I don't like it. You don't want to get up. You don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. It's killing me. But look what the life you bring. Come on, we just got to make a decision. We're going to bring life or we're going to live with death. Come on, the scripture said, he said, your outward man is perishing every day. Nothing you can do about it. But clean it up, put that deodorant on, keep on moving. Put the deodorant on. Keep it moving. He said, my outward man is perishing every day. But my inward man is being renewed day by day. So he said, what's working death in me? But really, God is working life in me. Come on, sometimes we don't have that perspective. He only had that perspective because he had been filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God now had infused his life like it should infuse our life so that we have the right perspective on how to live this life. Come on, sometimes we become dormant with that. And we don't move on that because we want to live. And we all want to live. We want to live it out. Be 100. 110. All right. Let me go to this side. Somebody say whatever. I'll say amen. 110. Amen. Come on. But the reality is God is bringing life in you when you're living his life. Come on. That's when we capture what he's doing for us and through us. We don't sustain ourselves. Even in our next breath, even in our next sustaining moment of our life, we don't do it for ourselves. God does it. Come on, that's why when we got the testimony, when Mark was testifying the other week about her mother, God's doing that. The doctors couldn't do it. The people couldn't do it. We couldn't pray through on Friday night. But God said, I can do what you cannot do. When are you going to start realizing that? Come on, it gets what? It gets our attention. Because now God is doing something supernatural. And he's doing it to get our attention so that we're never the same. Come on, Pentecost happened because God didn't need the same old, same old. I don't need the same old poem. I don't need the same old line. I need something different. And if to do something different, we have to become something different. We have to live something different. And then we can start what? Experiencing something different. Come on, those type of experiences and those kind of memorable moments only happen in our life when we are submitted to God. Come on, they had to submit themselves and say, you know what, we've been going through all this and you done left us and we've been quiet and we had the cross and then we had the tomb and then you in the room. We don't know what's going on, Jesus. Come on, if you think about what everything in the Bible, they didn't know what was going on. And then now you show up talking about, just wait in this room, and I'm going to come, and you oversee. They like, what? You done gone on, Abby, and left us. But yet they still submitted. And they still, the scripture says when in John chapter 22, he said they were on the road to the Emmaus. And they was talking to Jesus on the road. And they didn't even know who he was. He had to reveal himself to them. But even that short period of time, they still didn't know who he was. And they said, didn't our hearts burn when we were having this conversation? Did not our hearts really burn? Because the Spirit of God was now moving in their life. Come on, they didn't know, but they had to wait. And it takes some submission in our life. And obedience to the things of God for God to start manifesting the things he wants to manifest. Sometimes we just won't move and we won't do different and so that God can do different in our lives. We want everything to be pat and set. And I'm going to tell you, life is not always pat and set. Sometimes there's obstacles you got to get over. Come on, sometimes there's walls you got to go over. Sometimes there's mountains you got to speak to move. It just happens in our life. But the significance is, once we encounter God on the way, in the way, we are never the same. We're never the same again. Come on, we got to know that Jesus gave the believers courage to do the things they would not otherwise or never do or never dare to do for the King. Amen? Come on, secondly, Pentecost was never intended to be a one-time affair. I said that already. Today we are celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit at the first Pentecost. In much the same way the medieval Christians did at the cathedrals and the things like that when they experienced this Holy Spirit. Come on, much like the Azusa Street revival, where the Holy Spirit came and filled not only the room where they gathered, but it poured out into the streets. And many times since, the Holy Spirit has shown up and manifested itself so that the outpour was so tremendous that it couldn't be contained in a building. That the people who received it, they bust the doors open. Come on, Brownsville in 1991 and 94 to 94. The Brownsville revival. Some of y'all don't even know about that. But the Holy Spirit showed up and transformed this whole church. They were having service from sun up to sundown. All day, all the time. Because the Holy Spirit has showed up. Come on, I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit shows up in our life, we are never the same. And God is meant for it to change us and to change us forever. Come on, no more the routine, the mundane, the existent life, but a life with Christ and having it more abundantly. That's what he's called us to. Come on, Pentecost is just a marking. Pentecost is just a memorial of what God can do. Come on, today could be your Pentecost. Today could be revival time for you, where things can become different. Come on, sometimes we come to church just waiting on that moment. I don't know about you. I'm just waiting on that moment where things become different. Where I can't figure it out, but it's very much in God's control. I'm waiting on them days. When God transformed a life that where we thought, well, they were a base and they were this, and we identified them, they become more than we could even ask or think. Come on, that's what we're waiting on. Because this marks a memorable moment in our life. Come on, Pentecost is that. See, the Holy Spirit does these things in our life. See, it does these things. You can write these down as notes. The Holy Spirit speaks to us the truth about God. No matter what other lies people have said or people are living, Holy Spirit speaks truth about God. He don't keep us guessing. He don't keep us in limbo. Holy Spirit speaks truth about God. See, and when he speaks the truth, he shows us the love of God and the love of the Father has toward us by giving the Son. See, sometimes that's just enough. You gave your only begotten Son? Come on, some of us won't. We don't even understand that sacrifice. Not to its fullest. See, because when we do, then our life becomes the same way. Time doesn't matter for God. Money don't matter for God. What I do doesn't matter for God. Why? Because now God has transformed my life and I have identified of the sacrificial love that this God has for me. But yet I have limitations. I'll do this. I'll do that. We do all that because we become self-sustaining. I got to take care of myself. I got to do this. And we deny the power of God in our lives. Come on, there has to come some truth in our life. Come on, too many times we've been living a lie so long. And people been lying so long. And the scripture says they took the truth of God and made it a lie. Why? Because the people been saying it so long. But the reality is God has to be true and everything else has to be a lie. It has to be a lie. And we have to make sure we understand that. That Jesus was given to us. That he was born in Bethlehem. Born of a virgin. Amen. And became a human savior for us. Through his death and resurrection. He guarantees that the promises of God in the Bible are true. When I have a hard time. When I don't have understanding. Holy Spirit brings truth in my life. Come on, the Bible is true. For instance, when Jesus says that those who live and believe in him will never die but have eternal life, come on, we just pass from one life to the next. He ain't lying. We just haven't experienced it yet. Come on, the Holy Spirit pledges that this is true and should leave no doubt in our lives. Come on, secondly, the Holy Spirit testifies who we are. Come on, we don't need to make a name for ourselves. The Holy Spirit testifies who we are. We are God's children. We are spirit-filled people. For each of us, our Pentecost occurred when we were filled with the Holy Ghost. And if we have not been filled, that should be our desire. Come on, Luke chapter 11 says, how God, being a good father, would not give us this gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, evil men give their sons gifts. But you think if you ask God, he's going to give you something different? No, he not. He said, and not only that, how much more would he give us the gift of the Holy Spirit? Come on, he's testifying of it to us. And God testifies to us who we are through the Holy Spirit. He gives us that assurance and that confidence. When people say, oh, you ain't saved, look what you're doing. Look how you acted. Look what you're doing. Look who you are. Holy Spirit still comes back to you and says, you saved. Blood bought. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I don't care what they say. I don't care what you did. You still mine. Amen? Come on, then he shows us in the Bible. He says, look at Hosea. Hosea was still out there and living and doing his life. And God says, here, marry this woman. Go marry. Some of y'all might not even be able to handle this. Marry this woman. What? God told Hosea, a righteous man, to leave his life and go marry this prostitute. Blew his mind. Y'all funny. Sometimes you just get a laugh. But he blew Hosea's mind. And then we read the Bible, we read the book of Hosea. Hosea wouldn't just dealing with an ordinary. I thought he was going to say it, but he wasn't just dealing with no ordinary prostitute. She was out there. And the scripture says that she even had other children. And every time Hosea go to look for her, there she was again with somebody else. What we going to do with that?
I don't know.
I don't know what he going to do with that. All the ladies looking at me like, oh, go there, Pastor. Don't go there. Come over here with you, John. Come on. He had, what was God showing us? Because God still kept commanding. He said, now go buy her back. Was she done mess with this? Is she doing? And now she with it? And they done bought it? And you telling me take and go get her back? Come on, God helping us through the scriptures because he's saying, that's how I am. That's how I am. That's how I am. Come on, well, we could be short-fused, unforgiving. Come on, short-lasting. God said, no, this is how I am. Go get her back. I don't care what she did. I don't care where she is. And guess what? I don't care how much it costs you. Go get her back. Come on. God does all that to change, to help our minds. Because if he love us like that, what kind of love we got? It don't even measure. Our human affection don't even measure with that kind of love. And Hosea says, okay, God. And he goes by us or back. And God is just showing us. He said, that's how I am with y'all. You out there. You got other people, other gods. You love other stuff more than me. But I want you back. And I don't care what it costs. I want you back. And he demonstrates that to us. All through the Bible. The scriptures are just a love letter. How much God loves us. Because he dealt with us and he go through with us and he tolerate the mess we get into. And he says, still, I want you. I want you back. Because that's the kind of love our Father has. And the Holy Spirit reminds us of that. He stirs our heart to that. Look how much God loves you. When you a wretch undone, sleeping on the bricks, and we still loved you. Still loved you. Still loved you. Come on, God does that for us because the Holy Spirit testifies and brings to our remembrance of the goodness of God. Amen? Come on, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. He says, it's the goodness of God that led you to repentance because you didn't get what you deserve. Come on, you was a liar. You was a cheater. Come on, you was a backbiter. But you didn't get what you deserve. Come on, God ransomed you. He bought you back. Amen? Come on, the Spirit gives us revelation of that and testifies of the goodness of God in our lives and who we are. Amen? Come on, thirdly, the Spirit gives us the power. Somebody say power. Come on, this is where the crux of our life of Pentecost stays. Because many times it's the sin-laden or sin-burdened life that keeps us from becoming all that we are in life. And God says this is a power or equipment that you need to get through this powerless season in your life. Come on, some people, and I testify for myself, even though I was going to church, the church wasn't going in me. And it was not until the Spirit or the power of the Holy Spirit changed my life. Come on, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit is real. It is real to help us with circumstances beyond our control. Amen? Come on, I preached last week about the conflict of interest, and sometimes it's just the conflict of giving yourself over to God. See, because when true submission happens, then true power happens in your life. Come on, you can fool people You can trick people, but you can't fool God. Well, why is this happening to me? Because you can't fool God. You can talk with me out the back of your neck, but he see you out of the front. Amen. Yeah, I missed that one. That's all right. Amen. Come on, he is our God. He is our Savior. He died and rose for us. Amen. Come on, we are giving this faith to live as children of God. Come on, see, the power of the Holy Spirit, it meets us at our deepest need. Because sometimes we cannot meet it. We can't buy it. People can't console you, pray you through. It's the Spirit of God's work that meets you at your deepest need. Come on, some people need companionship. He's a friend. Come on, some people need comfort. He's the comforter. There's deep needs that we have. Come on, some people need mental help. Come on, we might not go around advertising it, but sometimes we need mental help. Because remember what the scripture says, I've come to give you power and a sound. We overlook that sometimes. We think people just kirking out and tripping out because they want to. No, they need mental stuff. They need mental stuff. They need you to ABCs of salvation, yes, but they also need mental stuff. Stuff where the Spirit comes and infuses their life. So that they can be wrapped up, tied up in the Gadarenes and shackled up. But then when Jesus speaks the word and deliverance in their life, they can sit around with a sound mind. Come on, sometimes that's all we need. Come on, we don't need another argument. We don't need a fuss. We don't need another plan and put them on a schedule. None of that been working. We need some divine deliverance in their life so that they can have the relationship with God that gives them a sound mind. Come on, just so I can think straight. Amen? But why are you acting like that? I don't know. I just can't think straight. But why are you treating them like that? I don't know. I just can't think straight. Come on, and sometimes we got to be bold enough to understand and talk about that. Saying, God, something wrong with me here. Because the way I deal with people and the way I talk and the way I understand, and I know I want to be unique and peculiar, and God has called us to be unique and peculiar, but he ain't called you to be crazy. Come on, somebody. He ain't called us to that. He called us to a sound mind. He did not give us the spirit of fear, but love. All right. The church is standing up now. They standing up now. That's the attribute that God gives. He said the world gives you the spirit of what? Fear. And fear is controlling. Because fear make you do stuff you wouldn't normally otherwise do. But when God gives you a sound mind, now you're what? I'm making sound decisions. I got sound thought. I got sound understanding. Come on, some people just, they just, you can't deal with them. They're unreasonable. And it ain't so much that they don't know Jesus. It's just that they have not dealt with the spirit of this in their life, making them not have a sound mind. Why we can't reason together? I don't know. Why we can't sit down and have a conversation? I don't know. But the reality is if we don't deal with that and challenge that through the Spirit of God, then guess what? We still won't have a conversation. We'll come and go. We won't talk because we don't want to deal with the soundness of my mind and how I think. Because how you think is how you... Come on, y'all know, fell off that fast. As a man thinketh in his heart, so... All right, I'm going to stay on this side now. Come on, we got to make sure that we are operating in the soundness of mind. Because when we are not, our life becomes helter-skelter. It becomes in and out. It becomes sometimes unmanageable. And it becomes out of control. That's why I'm speaking on Wednesday nights about order in the church, because really it's about order in our lives and how God's perspective of our order can sometimes be challenged. And sometimes we are our priorities. Oh, yeah, God is first in my life. Really? That's your testimony? That God is first in your life? Really? Is that it? Because we can say a lot of stuff in our mouths, but the reality is, will it stand the test of time? Come on, that's like people get in relationships, and they swear, that's my boo. Hey, we lie. Honey for life. They ain't been married a week or a month. Come on, because can it stand the test of time? Because stuff happened in time. Unmanageable stuff. Unreasonable stuff. But will you stand? Will you be empowered through the Spirit? Or will you quit? And give in to it. Say, nah, you can have it. I can't fight. My arm's too short to box. Come on, we got all kinds of scenarios in our life. But the reality is God has given us the power to live as children of God. And we have to make that stand and stop giving in to the world's perspective and understanding of how life should be. Come on, we married with two kids and a baby. Come on, let's get to real life and real talk. Let me give some people to testify about what real life is all about. And then tell me how cute and pretty and how it is there. Come on, people have different mindsets and perspectives of life. Come on, and they become condemning when you don't go along with their perspective. Like we're supposed to just shake their hand and smile. Yeah, we're going to love you through it. But we want you to live for God. Because we want to see God's blessing on your life. Them same people ain't going to come back and hug you when you're struggling. When you can't make your bills. Because all you wanted was your thrills. Come on, that rhyme. Did y'all write it down? Did you write it down? Come on, we don't do that. And we got to be able to do that in all phases of life. So that people can have an understanding of, yes, we love you. And God loves you more. But he has something better for your life. God, stop settling. Stop giving into this perspective, giving into this mindset. It's not going to pay you off in the end. It is fool's gold. And people are buying it every day. And God says, here, I got the real thing, baby. I got the real thing. All you have to do is just allow me to come into your life in its fullness, and things will never be the same. They'll never be the same. That's what Holy Spirit does. Come on, lastly. It is said that a certain guy, let me skip that because we're out of time. We're way out of time. I'm trying to make the tape, Brother Javon. I'm trying to make it, but every time the Holy Spirit just keep me going here. Come on. All right, let me give you this one here. The Spirit binds us together into the church. See, there can be little doubt that all of us are here this morning as individuals. No one is alike. Nobody has the same DNA, same print of life. No one is alike. We all have our unique talents and giftings and abilities that God has given us. In fact, we can be so different that it can be hard to agree together. Got one amen. Everybody else still don't agree, huh? They still don't agree. Come on, that's why the scripture says, Matthew 28 or Matthew 18. He says that where two or three are gathered, he's in the midst. And he goes on to talk about the power of agreement. He says if two people can agree, he said there's nothing that can be withheld from them. It will be given to them by my Father. Just paraphrasing for time. And he goes into that because he's saying, I just need people in agreement. If I can just get people in agreement, that's why couples, your biggest attack is against you all praying together. And ain't y'all living together? And ain't you procreating? You doing a good job with that. It's praying together. It's praying together. Because you're two different people with two different perspectives. And we have to learn the power of agreement. Come on, for years, Flo and I have been married 30 years. 30 years. 30 years, May 27th. And what we learned through that was we need to be in agreement. All the years we've been living together, we've been partners, the reality is what showed up in our life is stuff did not work and stuff did not go right. When we were in what? And a lot of couples have settled in their lives to live like that. You go your way. I got my bank account. I know I'm right there. I know I'm right there. Why? Not only are trust issues, but we don't have no agreement. Come on, you want new Jordans? I want a new dress. You want to go on vacation? I want a staycation. Work on the yard. We had this battle. It's a conflict. And it becomes issue blatant, especially in relationships or marriage. Because the enemy is attacking that, because if you two can agree, I just need y'all two to come together. Everybody else live in a different house, but y'all stay in the same house. Most of y'all in the same bed. We ain't gonna talk about that. We ain't gonna talk about that. Because of what? Disagreement. I don't like what you said. I don't like how you look. I don't like what you did. Oh, yeah, we're going to be real. We're going to be real. And then we got disagreements. Well, you shouldn't have did that. Well, you shouldn't have did this. Well, you been doing that. Well, I ain't giving you none. Well, we ain't in disagreement. The children's church is over there. The children's church is over there. What is that, Jeff? And we what? In disagreement. You want to do it this way, and I want to do it that way. And the reality is, then next thing you know, when it's time to pray, or when we need to pray, we don't pray. We just happy to be getting along again. I'm glad you said something to me this morning. I'm saying, did you? How you doing? Ain't prayed a minute. You just glad to be at peace. Amen? Come on, it is a conflict. Come on, 1 Peter said, the husbands should live with their wives with understanding so that your prayers are not hindered. He was on to something. He witnessed something. There's a lot of conflict, especially just in a marriage arrangement. Just in a marriage arrangement. That we can't what? We can't agree. We can't get along. We just existing. We go through the motions. Come on, my name on the deed too. Yours too. And we just go through the motions. The reality of it is the enemy has forged something in our lives that causes us to live in what? Disagreement. I'm trying to function through it. I'm trying to have stuff going on. I'm trying to love you like Christ loved the church. And still we got dysfunction going on just in the marriage relationships. Just in marriage relationships. I ain't talking about your best friend. You call them all the time and give them the half-truths. We good with that. But the wife know all the truth. She know all the truth. She know you ain't doing it. She know you ain't getting it. Come on. So we deal with that. And we tell people the half-truths. And we testify what we want it to be, but it ain't that. Yeah, it ain't that. And it's all because the enemy he's forged this enmity in relationships so that we don't even pray together. We don't even pray together. It becomes a crisis moment. And we can't just come together and pray in crises only. Amen. Come on, can't we just give God thanks? We made it another year. Come on, we made it 30. We made it 30. Amen. God, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Come on, there were praying moments to testify. Because there was a whole lot of odds against it. A whole lot of adversity against it. Come on, but we have to learn agreement. Because the Holy Spirit says he shows up in the midst of unity. Amen. In the midst of unity. Come on, we learn that through the years. We go to try to buy houses. She want one thing. I want another thing. We go to do anything. She wants something. I want something different. And guess what? It never worked out. It wasn't until years into our marriage that we realized this is the problem. We can't get together on nothing. You want this, I want that. You want apples, I want oranges. You want, it's different. We've got to get to a place of agreement in our lives so that we can live this marriage, this marriage relationship out. If not, we're going to stay at ours. You'll be on one side, I'll be on another side. Come on, we already got them dynamics anyway. You sit on your side, you sleep on your side. That's your closet, this my closet. Just, we got the double six in our room. So this your sink and this my sink. Would you use my sink? What's it? It's a sink! Gosh! I'm sorry, Richard. You ain't even getting all this today. I get like this every now and then. Amen. This is the Spirit of God. I don't know. And we get this what? Disagreement. It'd be small stuff. But it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Come on, we got to figure it out. Come on, if you're in a marriage relationship and sometimes you got this enmity, you got to figure it out. Come on, even in the times of discourse or when it's not going right, you got to figure it out. Figure it out, because when you figure it out, then you have allowed the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Because sometimes we get into the situations where we try to place blame or point fingers or find fault. And you're wrong and you're right. And both of y'all are wrong. Amen. Both of y'all are wrong. Because nobody's giving way to the Holy Spirit. Because it takes two to argue. Take two to disagree. And if we can walk in unity, then now we got something. Amen? Amen. Come on, look what happened on Pentecost. They were in one accord, the scripture said. Made it sure that you understood they was on one accord. Because he was about to do what? Unify some things. But I need you to get on what? One accord. See, because if I can get you on one accord, then now we can unify some stuff. Come on, in Genesis 11, he broke them up. He said, y'all on one accord, but y'all ain't in the right accord. So he confounded their language. In Genesis 11, but in Acts chapter 2, he did what to the language? Brought it back together again. Ooh, my God. Yes. He said, I heard in my own language. Yes. Well, what did you hear? Well, I heard in my own language. What was he saying? I'm confounded it there, but I'm bringing it back here. See, God brought something different in their lives so that they would never be what? The same. He said they had a work to finish, and y'all, we have a work to finish. And the way we finish it is going to be through the power of the Spirit. Come on, it ain't going to be through a program. It ain't going to be through a 3-point bulletin. It's not going to be through a sermon. It's going to be through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. When it's working in our lives, then guess what? We don't have to fight for unity. God will bring us together in unity. We don't have to fight for agreement. God will bring us together in agreement. Come on, but we got to be purpose in our heart. I want the things of God. Come on, I want all that God has for my life. And if you haven't gotten it yet, if you have not allowed your heart to come before God and say, God, fill me with your Holy Ghost, then you're missing the best part. You're missing the best part. Come on, church is not about a religious experience. It's about a spiritual experience. That sometimes I can't even figure out where it's coming from, but it's here. It's here. I can't even deny it. I can't resist it. It's here in my life. Amen?